Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. You'd think this snow would have melted by now. I don't know. Some good quality stuff right there. How you guys doing? Yeah. It's about to get weird. I've got an interesting teaching tonight. I think you'll get it. Hopefully you'll get it by the end, but at the beginning it's going to be a little weird. But what else would you expect, right? The ban was lifted. I'm back, so it's good. All right, so let's go ahead and pray, and let's get into it tonight. Before we pray, let me ask you a question. Are you here tonight to do work? That was not convincing at all, because I've put some work into this, and I feel like, I mean, hey, we're in the same room together. We're breathing the same air. Hopefully you don't have a cold. If you're sitting next to somebody and they have a cold, there's other chairs. You can go ahead and just politely move a couple down if you need to. How many have a cold? Just raise your hand high if you have a cold. Okay, see her over there. So just if you saw somebody raise their hand, just scoot away from them, because we don't want to. That's not what church is about. It's not about infecting each other with those bugs. It's not about that. It's about it's about learning and having fun. But tonight it's going to be a little deeper, and that's okay, right? That's okay. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. God, if it wasn't for you, none of us would be here, literally and spiritually and figuratively and all the above, Lord. You're just so good. And Lord, a long time ago when I felt the call to do this, I think I argued a bit. But Lord, in the end, I wanted it to be real. And over the years, Lord, you have shown up so many times in my life, and you've been real. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that everybody in here tonight would just feel the same way. That we would all know, Lord, that you are here, not in ideals. You are here physically. And you're going to speak to us tonight, Lord, and you're going to show us exactly what you want to show us and remind us of the things we need to be reminded of, but maybe show us some new things as well. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so the thoughts that I have tonight are based on something I've been working on for quite a few years, actually. And if I were to give you the whole spiel, it would take hours and hours, and I'm not even really finished with the whole thing anyway. And so this is kind of a part of something that I'm working on, and hopefully I'll be able to share more of it as I continue to speak. And so it'll be interesting. But tonight's message is titled "The Case for Darkness." The Case for Darkness. We're gonna start in Genesis chapter 1, which is what I do often. I feel like there's so much that we can learn from Genesis chapter 1. In fact, the whole book of Genesis. But for some reason lately, I've just been stuck right here in Genesis 1. I feel like if my whole Bible were to lose most of its books and pages, but I were able to keep Genesis and Matthew, I think I'd be good. I'd be solid. But the rest of it's good too. But I think there is like a hierarchy of information in the Bible. I think there's a hierarchy of important information. For example, in your Bible, maybe you're lucky enough to have one of those fancy Bibles that have the red letters in them, right? Those are the words of Jesus Christ. I would say those are more important than the rest of the Bible. I would say that whatever Jesus said not to use a derogatory term, but I would say whatever Jesus says trumps the rest of the Bible. I would say it's more important. And I'm not saying that the Bible ever contradicts itself, but I would say that Jesus says things that are very, very, very important, like very important, and the rest of the Bible has other things that are less important than what Jesus said. And so that's my personal belief. If you're a Christian, if you're a Christian, then you're following Jesus, who's real, who lived and who lives again, and that's who you're following. You're not even following the Bible necessarily. In fact, the Old Testament gets a little weird, and so I would just encourage you, if you're confused, maybe you're new to the faith, maybe you're old in the faith and you're confused and you're having trouble, I would suggest to go back to the red letter part of the Bible and focus on that and focus on who Jesus is, because that is the most important thing. And Jesus, his words were just, they were not only inspiring, they were just on another level. On another level. So anyway, we'll get to some of that later on. But first, we're going to start at Genesis, which is also a book that it's not Jesus speaking, but it is God speaking to Moses about the creation of the world, right? And it's really interesting. So we're going to start Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to try to go fast enough to get through everything, but I'm going to try to go slow enough to make sure we all understand. Does that sound good? So I'm trying to find like a medium speed. I'm trying to go like 75, a little over the speed limit, but enough to where I'm not going to get busted. You know what I'm saying? All right. So Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, God created." Okay, and that's so crazy that that's the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Thank God that he created all this, right? Thank God that we get to live in it, right? The next verse is, "The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." Hold it up. Hold that verse up, you guys. This is a mind blow. I was talking to Shane last week about this verse, and I said, "Can you? It's so weird. The Bible starts off, and the earth, like something actually exists before God creates the heavens and the earth, and that something is darkness, and apparently there's water, and apparently God's Spirit was just floating over this water. Like, what the heck? There's something before," and Shane's like, "Oh my gosh," you know, we had a moment. And anyway, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but it kind of does, actually. So the earth was formless and void, and darkness was the surface of the deep. Last year, I took my in-laws wanted to go on, my whole family on that side of the family, which a lot of you guys don't know, but everybody got together to take a cruise for my wife's grandmother's 90th birthday. And we got together, and we went on a cruise. And late at night, I was out on a balcony, and I was just watching the water. And we were far enough away from land where you couldn't really see land. And all you could see was the light, like, illuminated from the cruise onto the water. And I was watching this, and this verse just popped into my mind. And I started thinking, this is what it was like when God created. Like, God took this deep, dark, scary, ominous situation, and that was the canvas that he created the heavens and the earth on. Like, God literally started with darkness and went from there. And it's just, it's really a mind blow when you really think about it. So God started with that. So let's move on. Let me just ask you a question, okay? A couple questions. It's work, right? We're working together, right? Let me ask you this. First of all, what does darkness mean to you? Think about it. If you're human and you've actually left your home before and you've actually decided to do something with your life, and you've actually got a brain, and you've actually lived in this century that we're in right now, and you're actually alive and your pulse is beating right now, then I believe that you understand what darkness is. And some of us understand it more than others, depending on how your life has been, how your mind has been, how you've been raised, the things that have happened to you, or the chemical imbalances in our head. Like, we understand darkness to an extreme level, right? Some of us more than others. Some of you have been in very, very dark places in your life. Some of you guys might be in a very dark place right now. It's good for us to understand that. Those of us that aren't in a dark place right now realize that sometimes when we come to church, there might be somebody who's dealing with depression. There might be somebody who's dealing with a real loss. There might be somebody that's dealing with some real serious stuff. You thought I was going to say something else, right? There's people that are dealing with stuff. How many of you guys, just to be completely honest, you've dealt with some serious stuff in your life before? So when I talk about the darkness, what does that mean to you? Now I'm going to ask you another question. Is the darkness actually evil? Just think about it for a second, okay? Now I'm going to ask you another question. Is the darkness in our life necessary? It's interesting. So tonight, it's the case for darkness. Now, here's the deal. God allows all of us to go through times that are difficult, right? Allows us to do it. Matter of fact, the question of why do bad things happen to good people? Have you guys ever got that question? Why do bad things happen to good people? That question is kind of intertwined with what it means to be a Christian. Like, when we give our lives over to Jesus Christ, it's not like everything is perfect from then on, right? Like, that's not the gospel. The gospel isn't give your life to Jesus, everything's going to be perfect, you're going to be super amazing, you're going to have whiter teeth, you're going to be happier, you're going to laugh more, you're going to be more successful. That's just not the gospel. I mean, you could read the Bible yourself and find out pretty fast when people they choose to serve Jesus and then they're murdered for it. Like, you're going to find out pretty quick that that's not the gospel. Instead, the gospel, still very good news. In fact, it means good news. The good news in the good news in the gospel is the fact that no matter what happens to us, God is with us. Even beyond the grave, like even beyond death. So if you're struggling with something physical, God is with you. I don't know if you believe that or not. I don't know if you feel that or not, but I'm telling you, he's with you. If you're dealing with a loss of a loved one, or you're dealing with some difficulties from some other people, maybe it's a circumstance you're going through, maybe it's financial, whatever it might be, whatever kind of darkness that you could be facing right now. And let me tell you this, okay? If you're in a place tonight where you're like, nah, things are good. I'm telling you, it's coming, okay? It's coming because that's just the way it is, right? Like, if things are good, enjoy that moment, okay? Seriously, enjoy it and live it out as long as you can. But the trial is coming because that's all part of God's plan. See, the darkness, and this is what I'm throwing out tonight, is a heavy idea, but the darkness and the dark parts of life are part of his plan. Amen. Okay? So what I'm going to lay out to you guys tonight, and it's going to be very simple. In fact, I think it's going to be shorter than I even thought originally, because if I were to make it longer, it would be way too long. But tonight, I'm going to lay out 6 insights, okay? And I want you to take this. I want you to test me on this, okay? Seriously, test me on this. My email, jvietti@me.com. If you want to email me, you can email me. I would be glad for you to work through this with me because I would like to learn more as well. So if you have some insight, please email me. So the point is that I'm going to give you these 6 insights, and I want you to take these, and I want you to apply them to your own life. And I want you to go seek them out, okay? But my whole hypothesis tonight is that darkness is part of his plan. And I don't think it's really a hypothesis. I think you guys know this, but I'm still going to give it to you, okay? So the first insight is God is with us when it's dark. Okay, so in Psalm 23, King David wrote this psalm. And we hear this in funerals and different places, but the part that I want to read to you tonight is verse 4, where King David writes, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, he's not just being hypothetical here. This is a man who had ran for his life, literally speaking. He had to pull off some crazy stunts not to get a bow and arrow stuck through his chest. Like, he was literally running from King Saul, who wanted to kill him. This man had been through it, right? He stood before giants. He slayed giants. He stood before bears and lions. He had faced death multiple times. But near the end of his life, he goes back to write this out and says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow death, even though the danger is there, even though it is dark, he says, I fear no evil. Right? Even though I'm in a dangerous spot, even though there's an edge and there's a cliff right here that could kill me, even though I'm teetering on the edge of it, even though I'm there, I am not afraid. Because why? Because you, God, are with me. God does not, let me just say this, God does not always, he might occasionally, but he does not always pull us out of danger. He does not always lead us out of the way of danger. Sometimes he leads you right into the storm because he wants you to understand the strength and power you have when you are close to him, when you are in close in proximity to him, when he's there with you. He wants you to understand that you can walk literally through fire. You can literally walk through anything that could take, they could try to take a hold of you because he's with you. And I think God, as a father, he just likes that idea, right? He likes to think, man, I'm walking with my kid here. I got him. Oh, yeah, this is bad. This is really bad, but I've got him. That's the God we serve, right? So that's the first insight. Hopefully by the end of this, I will convince you the dark times are necessary. The second one, the Lord speaks to us in dark times. Matthew 10:27. The Lord speaks to us. And let's pull that up. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetop. So Jesus is telling his disciples, what I tell you in darkness, okay, speak in the light. But just a simple thing that he says, what I tell you in darkness. What I tell you in darkness. Listen, if we didn't go through dark, difficult times, if we never did, we may not be motivated to seek the voice of the Lord. We may not be motivated to hear him. It is the times in my life that have been the hardest are the times when I have sought the most. Right? Like, if you didn't go through trials, then you'd be missing out on one of the greatest things life has to give us. And even I'm even talking about stuff you did to yourself, okay? I'm even talking about the dark times that you just got a little distracted, you got a little off base, you fell off the horse, you stayed off for a while, you liked kind of feeling sorry for yourself, you stayed there for a bit, and now you're in a bad position. Even those times, God uses those times. He doesn't want you to do that, but he's like, hey, if you're going to go down that pit, if you're going to go down that hole, I'm going to let you roll a little bit. I'm going to let you fall a little bit. I'm going to let you go down there, because when it gets really dark and you can't see the nose on the end of your face, that's when I'm going to be there to talk to you. And think about the lack of distractions there are when we're in a bad place, right? You got one big problem to worry about. Beyond that, it's help. Sometimes that's the prayer that we get out, all right? The third insight, is the darkness reveals who we really are. Now, let's just stop there for a second. And I want you to ask another question. This is part of the work we're doing tonight, okay? Because you guys came to church on a Wednesday night. I mean, this is like hardcore. You guys actually drove, and it was like raining earlier, and you guys made it here. So I know you're willing to work, right? So the darkness reveals who we really are. Let me ask you a question. Do you really want to know who you really are? Just think about it for a second. Because some of us would rather lie to ourselves and tell us that we are better than what we are. And some of us would like to tell ourselves that we are in a better place than we are. Some of us would like to tell us that things, that you've done things really right in your life and you want to brag. And have you ever met somebody that's like super prideful and you're like, what's up with this person? Pride in its basic sense is you've lied to yourself and believed the truth, these truths that you've kind of came up with. They're not true. They're fake. They're lies. It's just a bunch of false, nasty, weird, puffing up, making yourself look better kind of lies that you believe about yourself so you can go outside and feel good about being outside and feel good about talking to people. That was the short definition. Sorry, I was kind of making that up as I went. But pride is not cool, right? When we are prideful, it says that God opposes us. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a fight with God, like a fist fight. I haven't. I've been in other kinds of fights with God, not on purpose. You realize eventually that you're in a fight with God when you're in a fight with God. And it's tough. But ultimately, whenever God is fighting against you, it's only to wake you up. And to help you realize that the pride in your heart is simply keeping you from actually growing into the person you're supposed to be. Right? And that's what God wants for us. God wants us to grow. He wants us to be better than we were before. And the only way that we can be better than we were before is if we choose, right, to be completely honest about who we are. Luke 12:3. It says, accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark, okay, whatever you said in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in the inner rooms, and another translation says, in the private rooms, in your homes, in the places that you feel like you're safe and no one will hear you, in those places, those things you whisper and mutter to yourself, they will be proclaimed on the housetops. In other words, your true self will come out. But if you would like to know who you really are before it just gets out there, check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? It's really that simple. But sometimes we just got to get to a place where we're honest about who we really are. There's nothing wrong with being honest. Because let me tell you, whatever dirty, nasty, weird stuff you're into, God still loves you, and you are still his heir, and you're his child. So you may as well be honest about those things, because some of those nasty things that you got in your heart and your mind and the things you do, they have roots, and some of those roots have nothing to do with your effort. They have to do with the fact that you were born into a really tough situation, or you were given something that was just damaging, and you just reacted. Maybe you just didn't know. Maybe you did know, but you didn't know. You know what I'm saying? If we do nothing, if we're not proactive about our lives, as humans, we just get messy. We get messed up. We start thinking things that we shouldn't think. We start doing things we shouldn't do. We start allowing our minds to go places that we shouldn't allow them to go. Right? We do. That's just, as humans, we do that. The only grace there is that if we're honest, we can just say, God, take this from me. Right? Take this from me and change me. I don't talk about sin a whole lot because I don't want to glorify it. I don't think that sin is this crazy thing that has a hold over you. I think that's bull crap. Am I allowed to say that? Okay, I did. I just do. I don't think it's true. I don't think the devil has a hold on you. I think the devil's a liar. You can believe his lies if you choose to, but ultimately you are free. Right? You are 100% free, and God has done what he's done for you through Jesus Christ, and Jesus took every bit of nastiness away that you don't have to live there. You are free to live in the blood of Jesus Christ and live for him 100%, right? You are. So just believe it and live it. That's it. Just believe it and live it. It's really, I know it sounds like it's not that simple, but it's also a practice, right? It's also like a daily thing. If you choose every day to lay down your burdens, if you choose every day to lay down your sins, if you choose every day to lay down your bad habits, if you choose every day, every single day to lay those things down, eventually you're gonna be better than where you were.
You may not be perfect because we kind of need to be a little imperfect so we can still have this thing called grace, right? Like, but ultimately, when you die, you don't want to be worse off than you were at 15, right? You don't. You want to be better. And if you want to grow, you have to be honest with yourself. All right. Anyway, moving on. Where are we at? You guys in the back, you know where we're at. All right. Darkness creates space for clarity. In Mark 1:35, Jesus, he shows us some stuff. And Mark, the writer, said that in the early morning, while it was still dark, and he had to throw this in there, while it was still dark, it was this early, that Jesus got up. He left the house. There had been a revival there the night before. Jesus had did a lot of healing. He had been doing a lot of good things at Peter's mother-in-law's house, and all these people were coming from the villages. They all wanted to come and see this Jesus, but he kind of woke up early, and he got out of the way of all that, and he went into the woods, right, and he prayed, okay, by himself in the dark. Now, this isn't a negative dark. This is a positive dark. This is the kind of dark where it's just you have shut your mind out to all the distractions. And have you guys ever been in a place where you didn't want to pray? Where you didn't want to come before God? Where you didn't really feel like it? You didn't really want to open your Bible? You didn't really want to, like, listen to what God had to say? That's kind of a form of darkness, right? It's like it's not depression, I wouldn't say, but it's like do I have to? It's like going to the gym. The same thing, right? Like, some of you guys are like, I'm getting back in the gym. You spent the entire month of December eating just cookies, the whole month, right? And you're like, okay, I'm going to get in the gym. Well, of course, it's going to stink to go to the gym after you spent a whole month eating cookies, right? You're not going to feel like it. Spending time with God is the same way. If it's not a habit, if it's not something you have done in a while, it's going to be difficult to do. And sometimes, even if you are in habit of doing it, you still don't want to actually sit before God and let him tell you all the things that you got to fix, right? It's a form of darkness. It's a form of you know, like going to work? You know what I'm talking about? Like waking up in the morning, you're like, I got to go to work? But at the end of the day, whether you're working out or going to work or if you're spending time with God, at the end of it, you're like, I'm glad I did that. Because going to work means you get a paycheck. Going to work out means your heart's going to be a little bit better at the end of the day. Going to spend time with God means that you've cleared out the cache of your mind. You've been able to just bathe in grace for a moment. You've been able to understand once again who God is. I don't know why, but we like forget who God is daily. It's like we go to sleep, we wake up, and then we forget who God is. It's the weirdest thing. I can't not figure it out. But then when you spend time with him, you're like, oh yeah, you're good. Oh yeah. So that kind of thing, you just got to be able to clear your mind and go before God. The next one is without darkness, how would you know the power of the light? If we didn't go through dark times, how would we know how good God is, right? John 1:5, let's pull that up. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Darkness couldn't exist, or can't exist, I should say, when there's light. If darkness and light were foes, if they were nemesis and they fought each other in the ring, every single time light would win. Every single time. Like, there's no way darkness can overcome light by nature, right? If it's dark, what do? Turn on a light. It's that simple. When you spend time with God and you spend time allowing him to take the things out of your heart, to take the things out of your life that don't belong, and to allow him to put the things in that do belong, you're bringing the light of his Holy Spirit into your heart. And when you do that, darkness can't even exist. It just can't. It can't be there anymore. So if you're having trouble, and I understand, listen, let me just stop and say this real fast. I understand that some of you deal with, like, legitimate depression and you're on meds and you talk to a doctor, okay? I understand that. I don't understand how all that works. I've learned a few things here and there, but I'm not a doctor, so I really don't fully understand your stuff. And I'm not one. I'm definitely not telling you to just like toss your meds or anything like that. I'm not saying that God wouldn't even use that, because at the end of the day, sometimes God would allow you to go there. Maybe you need it. Maybe your mind is just in a place where you need that. I don't know. I really don't know. But what I'm saying to you is that if you feel something coming on, you feel the darkness start to seep in, just go to God first. That's all I'm saying. Go to Him first and let Him lead you where you need to go, okay? And if God, if you in prayer feel like God wants you to go to a doctor and get medication, then by all means, I ain't a doctor and I'm sure as heck not God. So I'm not going to tell you not to do that, okay? Now, if you are in prayer and you feel like very strongly, and I'm not talking about like one prayer in the line at the Taco Bell, okay? I'm not talking about the quick, like, dear Lord, what do I do? And then you feel like all emotional and you just do something stupid, okay? I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about the kind where you go before God daily and you go to Him until you know what you're supposed to do, and then you do it. The Holy Spirit is real, and Jesus said that He would be our helper, and so we can really go and a lot of times He will lead you to research. He will lead you to a doctor. With my dad in his cancer, a huge part of his story, and a lot of you guys don't know it. Some of you guys just know his story, that God completely healed him. God actually led him to go to the doctor to get a certain medication, and that medication healed him. And I believe that that's the way God wanted to do it, because through that process, he met a bunch of doctors, and he met a bunch of people that he would never met. And that was his story. That was his thing. I'm not saying it's going to happen the same way that it happened with him for you. And his was leukemia, but head stuff is just as real, okay? Depression is a real thing. Anxiety is a real thing. These are all real things. And so I don't want to discourage you from doing that. I'm just telling you, just pray about it and get prayer, you know? Let this be a place where you can seek out God. And you can do it here at church with people. There's going to be people up here to pray tonight. You can do it here. Or you can go at home and you can sit down in a dark place, all right, where there's no phone on, no computer on, and just ask God, what do I do here? What's my next play, God? What is it? Because you know where I'm at, you know where I need to be, and you know what it's going to take to get me there, right? Like, we know that. So that was just a little spiel that I felt like I needed to talk about. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, okay? There just isn't. Trust me, some of you need your meds. All right, so anyway, moving on. I can joke about it because I've had issues too. Anyway, the last one is number 6, is darkness is a reason for us to rely on each other. It really is. In Acts 13:11, this is when Jesus meets Paul on the road to Damascus, and Paul, in his mind, is doing everything right in his mind. And in his mind, he is fighting against what he believes is a cult, this new cult of Christianity that is getting in the way of what God is really doing. This is what Paul believes. He's wrong, but in his mind, he believes he's doing the right thing. And on his way to persecute more Christians, Jesus actually meets him on this road. And this is what happens. It says, "Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be," Jesus is telling this to Paul. There's another scripture I was going to read, but I'm not going to do it because of time. But Jesus meets him on the road, and a bright light shines, and it blinds him, okay? It blinds him, and it just stops everyone in their tracks. It says, and Jesus says this to him, "Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. And so Paul, Jesus met with Paul with a blinding light, literally made him blind. He couldn't see anything. And this is how Paul starts off his new ministry. He was on the way to do something that was completely wrong that he believed was right, okay, which is interesting. Jesus stops, says, "Nope, you have a good heart, Paul. I like what you're trying to do, but you're kind of doing the wrong thing. I want you to turn around and do the right thing." And then he just makes him blind. And so at the very beginning of Paul's ministry, he literally has to hold his hand out, and he has to be carried by somebody else and led by somebody else. And for those of us that are in the church, if you're new to the faith, or if you're just in a place where you need to be led, there's no shame in that. Sometimes God will blind us so that we need other people. Some of us, we don't realize that that's part of God's plan, that he wants us to get help from each other, because God, as a good father, when his kids are helping each other, he's just happy about that. And things just work better because of that. When I'm in a bad place, guarantee you, I'm going to call the people that I know God has brought into my life. I'm going to call them right away and tell them, hey, I'm in a bad spot. And I've done that before, and I've had to. I was in the ministry for 6 years, and I had to have people hold my hand and help me out. And that just happens. It's just part of life. There was a young guy, bless his heart, the other day, super young. I don't know how old he was, but he was basically, we were talking about some stuff, and he was like, isn't there like a simpler way to do this? You know, how come we're making all this complicated and talk about all these different, you know, verses and all stuff? And we were getting into some pretty deep stuff, and I was just like, I think I said it nicer, but I was like, until you've lived life, son, like until you've, and now I'm the old guy, right? Like now I'm like my dad now, right? I remember my dad saying this to me, but until you've lived life, son, you know, don't judge. You don't know what's ahead. You know what I mean? And so as we're young, old, wherever we're at in Christ, just realize that sometimes we just need help from each other. Sometimes we need to be in a place. And if God's humbling you, it ain't going to get better until you just follow, until you just do what you need to do. Because just like pride getting in the way, lack of humility is kind of the same thing, right? It keeps us from really understanding who God is. And he's good. We're all in this together. Like I said when I first came out tonight, we're all breathing the same air tonight, right? And God is with us. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for being here, God, and showing us your way. Lord, your way is not our way. Lord, you've designed it to where we can't figure things out on our own. We need your word. We need each other. We need to pray to you, God. We need those things. You've designed it that way. And you've designed it to where the darkness is just part of our life because it keeps leading us back to you. And so, Father, I pray that if there's anybody in here tonight that's struggling, is having a hard time, Lord, I pray that you would just bless them right now with your presence. And bless them with the fact that, Lord, just remind them that you are with them. Remind them that you are there in the darkness, just like you were with King David, the exact same situation. Yes, he was a king. Yes, he had. But it's the exact same thing, Lord. Please, God, just remind us that you're with us all the time. And if you're here tonight and you want to make some decisions and get some stuff cleared up, there's people up here to pray for you. I would encourage you to do that. Come up, get some prayer, lay some stuff on the altar, and that's that, right? Amen. Love you guys, and keep the work going, okay? Keep it going from here on out. I'll see you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord.